Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. What a challenge when this is the closing service, main service of the missions conference. O Zion, haste thy mission high fulfilling, to tell to all the world that God is light, that He who made all nations is not willing one soul should perish, lost in shades of night. Behold, how many thousands, yea, millions still are dying, bound in the prison house of sin, with none to tell them of the Savior's dying or of the life He gave, He died for, of the death He died for them to win. Give of your sons and your daughters, and now I would say of your grandchildren, to spread the message glorious. Give of your wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out thy soul for them in prayer victorious. And all thou spendest, Jesus will repay. In my personal opinion, maybe the greatest missionary hymn that's ever been written. I actually have one sermon that I preach in a lot of missionary conferences that I tell them, I'm not preaching today from the Bible, I'm preaching from the hymn book. And that's the message I thought about and wanted to preach today, but the Lord has laid something on my heart that I hope will be an encouragement and a blessing to you. In Psalm Psalm 86, we'll begin reading at verse number 9. Would you stand together with me in respect for the Word of God? All nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord, and shall glorify Thy name. For Thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me Thy way, O Lord. I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name. Verse 12, I will praise Thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify Thy name forevermore. Father, we ask that You glorify Your name in this, the closing service of the annual missionary conference at Ambassador Baptist College. And Lord, the way You can glorify Your name is to lay upon the hearts of each of these who are here to say, I will live my life for the glory of God. I'll go where He wants me to go. I'll be what He wants me to be. I'll do what He wants me to do. Lord, convict every heart that they would lay aside their own ambitions, their own plans, and Lord, they would yield completely to the One who paid it all for them, that they would give their all to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me first of all express my appreciation for this privilege of being here again at Ambassador Baptist College. Let me also say that I do not take the opportunity lightly. It's an awesome responsibility to stand before a group like this. Most who already have the desire to live their lives for Jesus Christ and to challenge you. Glorifying the Creator is our purpose for existing. Verse number 9 says, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O God, and shall glorify thy name. See, that's the goal for missions, is that the nations of this world will glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 12 then says, because we have this goal of taking the gospel message to the nations, we must make our own decision and say with the psalmist, I will praise Thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify Thy name forevermore. That does not start when we get to heaven. The supreme goal of every believer should be to glorify His name forever. And that does not start when we die. We must glorify His name now. I want you to look with me for a personal testimony from Psalm chapter 50. Sometimes when I'm turning in my Bible, I go the wrong way. Because in the Japanese Bible, the book of Genesis is here. And the book of Revelation is here. So I go the wrong direction. I remember one time I was preaching at our Bible college in Japan, and I said to the students there, you know, I don't believe, you know, the Japanese write from top to bottom. They start on the right and they go down, and then they go move over and go down and stop. And I told them one time, I said, I don't believe that God intended for us to read that way. If God had intended for us to read that way, He would have put our eyes that way. But one of our young students, who is now one of our God-used pastors and will be going with me to Bangladesh in 2 weeks, said, Sensei, that might be right, but really the way we Japanese read our Bible is far better than the way you read your Bible. I said, what do you mean? He said, let me show you. You have to look at me. He opened his Bible and he said, when I read my Bible, here's how I read it. But when you read your Bible, here's how you read it. So I suppose he was right. But however you read your Bible, you should heed your Bible and do as it instructs you to do. In the book of Psalms, chapter 50, and I'm still trying to get there, going the wrong way again, and I'm in the book of Isaiah instead of Psalms. No wonder I can't find it. Psalm 50. The reason I'm having you turn to this is on April the 4th, 1998, my wife was called home to be with the Lord. By far the greatest valley in my life. On that morning, after she had gone to heaven, in total physical exhaustion, I had fallen asleep briefly on the couch that was there in our living room. I woke myself up with my prayer. And my prayer was, Lord, what am I going to do now? And I don't recommend this way of reading your Bible. But my Bible was laying on the coffee table right there beside of the couch. And I reached over and picked it up and I opened it and it fell open to Psalm 50. And the Lord answered my prayer with His Word. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Verse 14, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. What am I going to do now? The first thing God said is, you're going to thank me. And I must be honest, what I said back was, Lord, not yet. I can't, not now. But it was almost a rebuke when He said, thou shalt offer unto God thanksgiving. Praise me. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And then the second thing He said to me is, you're not only going to praise me, but you're going to pay me. Pay unto the Lord. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Nothing's changed. You're going to keep on serving me as a missionary. It's been 21 years since that day, and that's the goal of my life, is to keep promises that I made when I was just a young person. And then He said, trust me. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. With me, nothing is impossible. Can I share a little bit of personal testimony with you? I met my wife, Odessa, when I was 12 years of age. I was hitchhiking, or riding my thumb, as we used to say, to go to the youth meeting that was meeting at the church her dad was the youth director of. I was at that time going to a smaller, different church about 12 miles away. But I knew about their meeting on Monday night, and I was on my way there. And her dad stopped. He was in a little green Studebaker. Now, most of you don't even know what a Studebaker is. But I got in the back seat of that little green Studebaker. Went home that night and told my mother, I know who I'm going to marry when I grow up. And I did. Now, here I was. April the 4th, 1998. And for the first time, I was facing a future without her in it. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do now? And the Lord said, you're going to thank me. And then He said, you're going to keep your vows. You surrendered to be a missionary when you were 12 years old as well. And that hasn't changed. And then the final thing is, you can call upon me. You can trust me, and I'll take care of you. And He has. He has. The grief doesn't go away, but the grace is all sufficient. We can have peace that passes all understanding, even when the pain is almost unbearable in our lives. But then the final phrase was, "Thou shalt glorify me." You see, I was born on December the 4th, 1941, and so you won't be doing the math. I'll be 78 in December. But when I was born, my mother was in what they used to call the charity ward of the hospital in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. 3 days after I was born, on December the 7th, 1941, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. My teenage mother was in the hospital when she heard that news. She said, I was already filled with hate toward the life, the hard life I'd had. I hated the husband that had deserted me when I was that young and with children. But when I heard about the Japanese and their declaring war on the United States, I hated the Japanese people with all of my being. And then she said, had I known that that little baby I was holding in my arms was going to grow up and go try to help the Japanese, I would have smothered you with my pillow. Now, I'm glad she didn't know. But you see, God had a plan. You're not here in this world by any kind of a coincidence or an accident. See, that's why I believe passionately that abortion is murder at any stage once a baby is conceived, regardless of the reason. And there is never a reason to take one life because of the sin of another. My mother didn't want me. My dad certainly didn't. He had disappeared and I didn't know him. I only saw him one time in his lifetime. The doctor came in one day, time for her to leave the hospital, and said, "Now, Mrs. White, you're going to have to give this baby a name because we have to have a birth certificate." She said, "I don't care what you name it. Give it any kind of a name you want to." So my doctor gave me my name, Ronald White. Didn't get a middle name, and that was hard to live with all my life. But you see, God had a plan. And that little baby born 3 days before the Japanese declared war against Pearl Harbor and the United States, God planned for him to grow up, and God called him to be a missionary to Japan. You see, God has a plan for your life. God had a plan for our life as a missionary couple. I have been deeply blessed by the testimonies I've heard from missionaries. You know, one of the blessings of being a missionary is you get to know a lot of missionaries. So far, I haven't met a perfect one. Of course, when they met me, they didn't either. But there's something about someone who is at least trying to commit their whole life to serving Jesus Christ. That's a blessing. Young people, you only have one life to live. Live it for Jesus Christ. I'm going to do a little bit of an unusual. I want you to turn to the book of John now. in the few moments that I still have. And I want to talk to you about life by first of all talking to you about death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Thank God for us who know His name, because we have accepted the fact that Jesus did pay it all. We will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And knowing the terror of the Lord, we convince men. We preach the gospel. We go to the place in the world that He wants us to go, and we do that which He wants us to do. None of you are here by coincidence or accident. You are an actual creation of God. God created you for a purpose. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that the Great Commission says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Because every human being is a creation of God. And then we who are born again are a new creation of God. And we are created for a purpose. And I believe it's an individual purpose. Yes, collectively, every one of us should be involved in taking the gospel message to the nations of the world so that those nations can glorify God, their Creator. But God has an individual purpose for every life. In the book of John, we read about the Apostle Peter. If we had the time, we could read the passages where they were on the shore of Galilee. And I still think about the fact, you remember when the Lord, after His resurrection, told the women, said, now tell my disciples and Peter that I want them to meet me. Now, why did He add one name there? Because I think Peter didn't consider himself to be a disciple anymore. He didn't feel that he deserved to be a disciple. So the Lord very specifically said, now, you make sure Peter knows how I want him here too. You know, your failures do not have to determine your life. But after they had gathered there, and He had again miraculously fed them with fish, He looked at Peter, and He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And three times He asked that soul-searching question. But I don't believe He asked those questions to reprimand Peter. I think He asked those questions to give Peter another chance. Because when Peter answered Him, He said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now everybody else didn't, because he didn't act like it. But he said, Lord, you know that I love you. And the Lord said, okay, I'll use you to feed my sheep, to feed my lambs. And then after that, and I want you to look at verse 18, the Lord said, speaking to Peter, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. You see, I believe the Lord was not reprimanding Peter, but giving Peter a second chance to do what he said he would. Though all the others fail you and forsake you, I'll even die for you. But he didn't. But the Lord said, but I'm going to allow you to keep that promise. And historically we're told, though it's not in the Scripture, that when Peter did die, he was crucified upside down. Kind of as a joke, but at his own request. And he said, I'm not worthy to die the same way that Jesus died. But he did keep a promise that he had broken when he was a younger man by dying for Jesus Christ. The Lord said, I'm talking about that death that will glorify God. You see, young people, every one of us are going to die. Do you want to glorify God by the way you leave this life? If you're going to glorify God by the way you leave this life, it starts now. You're going to have to glorify God by the way you live this life. He looked at Peter and said, now this is how you're going to glorify me when you die. But right now, follow me. Follow me. Because the way you live this life will bring you to the point where you can leave this life glorifying me. And if you're going to glorify God when you leave this life, you're going to have to glorify God by the way you live this life. But that's not all. You see, this life is not where things end. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Period. No. And after I have finished all the days of my earthly life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, if I glorify God by the way I live this life, and then I glorify God by the way I leave this life, then I can, as the verse we read in Psalm 86 says, I can glorify God forevermore and live my eternal life glorifying Him. But it doesn't stop there. Even for our testimony, even for our glorifying the Lord, it doesn't end when we die. I love this passage, and the older I get, the more I love it. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up in remembrance, knowing that I shortly must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me recorded in John 21. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. You see, Peter said, as long as I live, I'll do everything I can to help you. And as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I will hound you to do the will of God in your life. But even after I'm dead, I'm going to haunt you to live your life. See, I don't want my glorifying the Lord to stop when I die. Someday, I'll leave this life. I too, someday, must die. But when He takes me home, His name I'll glorify. I gave my life to Him that day I heard His voice. So, how I leave this life is really not my choice. Can I pause right there in this poem and give a little bit of a personal testimony again about my dear wife? When those oncologists came into the room at Vanderbilt University Hospital, they looked at my wife and they said, "Mrs. White, we regret to tell you that you're going to die. You have about 6 months at most to live." Her answer to them was, "Well, I gave my life to the Lord when I was a teenager. It's His. He can do whatever He wants to with it." Now, I didn't agree with her. I was standing there and said, "No, she's mine. And I wanted her to live." But she committed. You see, someday we'll all leave this life. But if I want my death to glorify my Lord, I must live my life for Him. No less can I afford. As long as I have breath, I must follow His command. Wherever He may lead, to near or distant land. What others say or do is no concern to me. While I am in the flesh, His servant I must be. So as I live this life until my race is run, I seek to stir you up. Remember, don't forget, and you can leave this life with nothing to regret. And after you've gone, the legacy you leave will stir up those you love and help them to believe. If you will live your life and follow till you die, you can leave this life your Lord to glorify. The influence you have need not die with you. The memories that you leave can glorify Him too. When my wife went to be with the Lord, and I keep it in the leaf of the Bible that I preach from, I was standing by her bed right after the oncologist had told her she had less than 6 months to live. I was out away doing some kind of an errand, and I came back home, and Odessa met me at the door. And she said, "You can quit worrying about me. I'm not going to die now." And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, do you remember our first prayer card?" And I said, "Well, of course I do." She said, "Well, what did the verse we had on it say?" And I remembered that we had on that prayer card 1 Chronicles 28:20. "The Lord thy God will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." And she smiled and said, "Well, God told me this morning that I wasn't finished yet. And when I am, I'll tell you." So the doctor's 6 months turned into 6.5 years that we continued to serve the Lord together. But then she called me to her bed. We had been together in the hospital for 21 days in her final time. And she looked at me and she said, "Now you know that it's His will for me to go to be with Him." You see, she said, "When it is, I'll tell you." And she was telling me. She said, "It's God's will, it's the Lord's will for me to go to be with Him now. But if you want me to, I'll stay." A little strange, I know. But I believe that had I said, "I want you to stay," the Lord would have allowed her to stay until I was ready. But I remembered when she, as a teenager, was on her knees at the Youth for Christ meeting in Beckley, West Virginia, and gave her life to the Lord. And I knew her since the time I was 12 years old, and all the time we had together, I never knew a time when she even considered not doing the will of God for her life. So when she said, "If you want, it's God's will, but if you want me to, I'll stay." As much as I wanted her to stay, I knew I could not ask her to do something that was not His will for her life. So I said, "Are you sure?" She said, "Yes, I'm sure." I said, "Well, then it's okay." And she said, "Oh, thank you. Let me tell you the verse God gave me this morning." And it was from John 17, that high priestly prayer of the Lord, where in verse 24 He said, "Father, I will that those whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." She said, "This morning that was my verse. That was my verse." 2 days later, she was in the presence of the Lord she loved. Sometimes people ask me, "Do you think Odessa misses you?" And I used to want to say, "Of course." But then I thought, well, she's gazing in the face of the Savior that she loved. She probably hasn't even given me a thought. But one day we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But sifting through her things, we found a poem she had written years and years before that. Not really a poem. Something from her heart. "My prayer today. Today is not mine. Today, let me live to put Christ and Ron first. Then my precious children that you've given to us. Lord, live through me because I have no goodness of my own. There is nothing good inside me. Only Christ is good that dwells within me. Help me today to be mindful of others. Give me peace to know that what happens this very day is your perfect will for my life. Even in the things I don't understand, help me to trust in you and say, all is well. Today is the Lord's, not mine. This is His life, not mine. Perform in me today, Heavenly Father. Use me, all that I have. Don't let me stray from Thy side even for a moment. Use me today, not at all that I will be seen, but only Christ in me." What a legacy. See, if you want to leave this life glorifying God, you must live this life to the glory of God. And then it won't stop there, because even after you're gone, somebody else will be looking at what will they find in your legacy that you leave that will stir them up to continue to serve Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Everyone standing together with your head bowed and your eyes closed.